No holds bar. The former attorney general comes out swinging against Trump, but seems to have questionable motives. You're listening to The Last Gay Conservative. I'm your host, Chad Law. Oh, yeah. Let's go random. Hello, everybody, and let's go, Brandon. Welcome to another episode of The Last Gay Conservative. It's me, Chad Law, your binary brother, the holiest homo, the beacon of truth, and the true leader of the gay world. I am solely here to send facts and findings through the airwaves, and you know how, on our red, white, and blue rainbow. Well, folks, it's a scorching hot day today in Orange County. And the electricity grid here in California is being pushed to the max. We're getting amber alerts on our phone to let us know. It is so hot that the state has begged electric car owners to not plug in and charge. Ironically, this desperate request came just weeks after the state passed legislation that will ban non-electric vehicles starting in 2035. I mean, folks, we talk about this all the time. If this isn't liberal short-sightedness, It's what I call creating MSNBC policies. Sound great on TV. Oh, California is not going to have any more gas cars. The air is going to be so clean and wonderful, etc. They lack any substance, research, facts, or just responsible governing. I mean, what? Electric cars put pressure on the grid? What? You mean charging them can put enough pressure on the grid to cause brown and blackouts here in California? Yeah, these people don't even get it. Tesla drivers, you know, you talk to these people and they're like, oh, the power comes from the wall. But I tell you, you know, ditch your gas car, but don't use your electric car. Get an e-bike. Oh, wait, got to charge that. Get a Bird scooter. Got to charge that one. Take public transportation. Well, that doesn't really work that well because usually there's no air conditioning or the things are late or breaking down because they've been switched to electric. We just have to be the laughingstock of the world. I mean, who does that? They pass a law and then they have to quickly reverse all their cheering because it gets too hot. I mean, it just shows you that the electricity grid is far more important than cars. And the more cars we plug into the grid, the more likely we are to have a shutdown. So Newsom really trying to rack up as many talking points as possible for his presidential run. God help us. I guess what I'm dying to know is how are they going to explain away all the lost taxes from gas and employment from gas station owners? Just what we're displacing all these business owners. What's the solution? What's the DNC solution for that? What's Newsom, Chairman Newsom's solution for that? Destroying families because of a green agenda that actually contributes to climate change instead of helping it. But before we dive into the meat of the episode, I wanted to share some fun updates. First, I'm really sorry for falling off schedule. The truth is I'm pitching a few various media companies for the podcast, and I wanted to keep the mix of episodes how it was 1 through 30. We'll see how things turn out. I mean, if you love the show, you can always help out by sending the show and your recommendations on how much you love it to The Daily Signal, Blaze Media, The Daily Wire, anywhere you'd like to see us produced. You know, originally, my plan was to self-produce everything with the creation of a new media company. But first of all, life happens and things have changed. And aligning with like-minded networks will help us get a jump on things faster. The economy also is giving me very little confidence to invest significant amounts of funds into a new venture right now. Not only just my funds, but also some of the other investor funds I don't want to be on the hook for as we see a macroeconomic breakdown here. But it's also very important that we're stronger in numbers. You know, it's not because I don't believe in what I do to put the money behind it, but with all the censorship and government be on the lookout warnings for conservatives, conservative media, Christians, it's best we stick in numbers. That makes us that much harder to take down when they come after us. But with that being said, just FYI, I am looking for someone part-time just to handle our Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram being on there on a regular basis throughout the day. I don't have time, and our social media girl is gone to nursing school. So we scared her right out of marketing. But it would be a great part-time gig for someone in school or someone looking for a little extra income. Funny story I heard yesterday. You guys know me with my funny stories. There was an elementary school teacher, and part of her curriculum was to teach kids about self-esteem. Sound familiar? So the teacher tells her class, if you think you're dumb, stand up. Her goal being that no one would stand up, and then she could explain that no one is dumb, everyone's just different. But unexpectedly, little Johnny stood up. The teacher says, now, come on, Johnny. You don't actually think you're dumb, do you? And he looks at her and says, no, ma'am, I just hate to see you standing up there all by yourself. ain't that the truth these days, these woke teachers? I heard that on yesterday's episode of the Joel Osteen podcast. If you didn't catch Sunday's podcast, I highly recommend it. Man, did I need to hear what he was preaching. Love Joel. He's changed my life for real. As you know, we receive many emails and messages on a regular basis singing our praises, and just as many singing our praises as others wishing we were dead. And I love every one of them. I read them off. My assistant prints them off and puts them on my big cork board to review. And I just, it's something that I absolutely love to do because everyone has a different perspective and it's always very different from what I think you think. And it just gives me a nice dose of reality and helps me build the show for what you guys like. You know, one crazy thing is that we have a little fan base in Australia. Received an email about a month ago from a gentleman named Chris. I won't share his last name for confidentiality reasons. He may allow me to on the next episode or two, but for now it'll just be Chris. And he, I just want to read you a part of the email. He says, Chad, you are the best. You're changing people's lives with this show, bringing hope and happiness to many of us out here who have been feeling there was nothing worthwhile left in the gay community. Since discovering your show, I'm starting to feel some pride in being gay again. Thank you. So of course, I had to respond. I was so flattered. And Australia, I mean, that's so cool. First of all, I love Australians. I mean, they're pretty much tried and true badasses. And that's what's so sad about what's happening to the government there, because it was a gritty democracy because of the bloodlines in Australia. And people really stood up to their government and they really cared. And all the, you know, feminization of men and all, it's starting to catch up because you can see these people just bending over and taking it from the government, which 20 years ago would have never, ever, ever happened in Australia. But if you've ever been to Sydney as well, the men there are attractive to say the least. But this is exactly why, folks, I started doing this show. And to know there are people actually around the world just affirms that we're doing the right thing. You know, beyond that, Chris took it a step further and posted my show on some gay Facebook groups and, of course, got him a ton of liberal hate, but also brought him some gay conservatives out of the closet. Pun intended. He was so inspired, he actually started a gay conservative meetup group. And this is the virality we need to keep the message going. I mean, we're not a gay show only per se. The show really represents people who have been falsely guilted into subscribing into beliefs they don't feel are right. The part that really cracked me up, though, is that after a few weirdos, he had to put a disclaimer on the group titled, What is a Gay Man? Absolute best. A big shout out to everyone down under. I cannot wait to get back down for 4 and 20 meat pies and footy. Just a wonderful place. And the connection that I feel with Chris has been life affirming and just warms my heart. So thank you to those in Australia. I really, really would like to do either once a month or every other week or some sort of Australia theme show and stuff going on there. There are a lot of similarities happening in Australia and in the US right now, but specifics are good. And I think we could all learn from what's happening. I follow Rebel News, which has a really good foothold in Australia as well. So maybe I'll do something with them. I'm not sure, but Chris, you're amazing. Thank you so much. And I really do mean it. Another shocking email was received a couple weeks ago from an adorable guy in New York City, of all places. That city will literally swallow you up into liberalism. And apparently there are still some lone soldiers and even gay conservative lone soldiers. I would have never imagined. Just listen to his note. "Hey, Chad, my name is Robbie, and I want to thank you for your voice and your show. Everything lately is woke trans agenda being shoved down our throats. And there are times I feel like my head may explode. Being from New York City, young, gay, and not on the liberal left makes me feel like a middle or high school kid again in the closet, sheltering my views and thoughts. It's refreshing to know not all of us have conformed with the mob and that others like us do exist in these beyond hyper-partisan times. People like you give me hope for the future of our country. Please don't ever stop doing this podcast." Oh, okay. Yeah. And they're telling me here there's more actually. He says, "I truly enjoyed the latest episode on Limited Sight and agree with so much. Your monologue was fantastic as always. I'm so uncomfortable with the trans shows, pole dancing in schools for little children. It freaks me out. Nancy in Asia also freaks me out. And does Liz Cheney in America? Bigot has indeed lost all value. I'm just so glad to have found the last gay conservative Christian out there. But like I used to always hear growing up, you're not alone. It gets better. It had to, and it will. 22, 24, let's take it back." And again, this is the reason I do what I do. We may be a minority, but that doesn't matter because we have the grit, endurance, and strength of 10 times our majority. The reason they're in the majority in the LGBTQ community is because they're weak and they rely on the sympathy and the handouts of others in order to feel special and to feel like they're getting what they deserve, if you will, from their rough high school, or I don't know what the answer is anymore. But there are a couple of news items I do want to touch on. You know, right before Biden took to his Stalin-inspired stage to declare war on us MAGA Republicans, the media skipped the part where he requested yet another $13 billion for Ukraine. What the hell are we doing here, folks? I told you, I said it in the beginning, I'll say it again. This is Afghanistan 2.0. Should have never been involved. It's not our job to protect Europe against socialism and Russia. It's not. We're not the democracy police. This is ridiculous. Just another glaring example of Biden's leveraged position with Ukraine. I mean, the Biden blank check keeps bleeding into the Ukraine-Russia conflict with no end in sight. And it's getting worse for us. Russia has completely cut off Europe from any gas or fuel. And so the tables have completely turned. Oh, God, the irony. It's just so good. It's so good because these people are just getting slapped left and right all over the world. You know, unlike the prior past requests where he pretended to care about the opinions of Americans and he went to Congress, et cetera, there's no time to just do any of that now. He just has to go, no explanation, and he expects nonpartisan or bipartisan support for every dollar that goes to Ukraine. You know, it was so covered up, the request was only discovered on a blog written and managed by the Office of Budget Management. The director there, Shalanda Young, wrote that the president would like Congress to authorize an additional $11.7 billion for Ukraine, in addition to $2 billion for energy-related concerns. Is that for more electric cars that we can't plug in now? Who knows? Meanwhile, we have no reprieve from inflation and fuel prices, and the EU is heading into the worst winter season in history, combined with quadrupled energy costs. I feel like a broken record, yet another example of media politics not actually governing. You know, Europe, with the pressure from the Biden camp, irresponsibly closed their much depended on Russia oil and natural gas line. They just turned it off. And like the Biden bulldozing of our energy grid, the EU is now up shit creek without a paddle, feeling the pain more than ever. Oh, and by the way, have any of these big, brave NATO initiatives and diplomatic blows against Putin worked? Not at all. The war is a war of attrition, and no amount of money from either side is going to fix that. I mean, guys, I hate to sound like this person, this conspiracy theorist, but the only thing we can do is follow the money. I mean, Biden is clearly getting a cut or some sort of backdoor deal with Ukraine because no responsible president would give more money to a foreign corrupt country than investing in dire domestic endeavors that need to be fixed right now, today. You know, and we're not hearing much about this because of all the political noise happening here, but this international conflict is in the top three biggest failures. And the Daily Wire News reported on the latest spending request by outlining the lack of oversight and inevitable corruption coming from our help. It says, given the vast scale of aid and absence of U.S. and NATO oversight personnel in Ukraine, veterans of past U.S. military assistance campaigns say it's likely a matter of time before the problems start to emerge. Speaking with John Sopko, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, said it's unavoidable that some of the money will be misused. He goes on to say, even if it's a noble cause, there's going to be theft. There's going to be misconduct. There's going to be nepotism. There's going to be stupid decisions being made. It's just human nature. A couple of years from now, you're going to read stories all over about waste, fraud, and abuse. One of the only U.S. politicians, you guys know who it is, the only one who's demanded accountability for all this is Rand Paul. And I said it then, and I'm going to say it again now. There is something fishy in Ukraine. You don't hand your keys over to a drunk driver, and you certainly don't hand over endless billions of dollars to a country rooted and founded on corruption, fraud, theft, cyber warfare, and money laundering. All Senator Paul wanted was the assignment of an inspector general to oversee the use of the funds. But McConnell, Gramnesty, Biden, they all shut it down. No oversight. I wonder what's to hide. Now, in a lighter piece, I don't know if you all saw, Hillary appeared on the red carpet at the Venice Film Festival, seemingly out of nowhere. Things like this make me miss Joan Rivers so much because God only knows what she would have had to say about Hillary's outfit. In what could only be described as a nightgown caftan combo, Hillary strutted her old saggy stuff down the red carpet, acting like she was Naomi Campbell. You know, her and Chelsea are more affirmation of my nasty liberal women theme. I mean, especially Chelsea. She is just unfortunate looking. But with all that money, why doesn't she get it fixed? After seeing Hillary as a senator and the secretary of state and looking back, I can't say I blame Bill for banging other chicks, especially after this picture I saw on the red carpet. I mean, Twitter has, of course, exploded. She's the most hated female politician in American history. And she tried to step up, you know, and really walk into her new self-appointed role as a Hollywood mogul. That's what she is now. You guys didn't know that? Step over, Shonda Rhimes. Hillary's in town. My favorite, can't even say it with that straight face. My favorite tweet read, someone take Meemaw home. You got to look at the pictures to see. But I don't know if you guys know this. She just recently started her own production company. It's called Hidden Light Productions. And it's all about creating documentaries like In Her Hands and Gutsy, both based around her life and her family. Of course, just what we need, more Hollywood propagandists spewing left-wing ideologies under the guise of entertainment, right? Of course, Netflix will pick it up. Everyone, it'll be everywhere. And the titles are just perfect. Hidden Light. I mean, yeah, you would say the Clinton family has no light. It's hidden, all right. It's just dark. There's no light about her or around her. And then In Her Hands has to be a double meaning around her leadership and all of Bill's women whose lives were literally in her hands. I mean, when Bill was governor, female car accidents in Little Rock were at an all-time high. And I do believe it was because his lovers were being taken out by Hillary. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding a little bit. But, you know, she's just, what's sad about the whole situation is Hillary's just attempting to add yet another failure on her resume. As all of these so-called productions, they're going to tank. She's never won or had any success in her life. So Oscar-winning producer seems like a far stretch. I mean, she really hasn't. Everything's been given to her and she's had to guilt people into it. So, you know, it's just going to continue and continue. But of course, she's lost her relevancy. So now she's back. Anyways, so let's talk about this insanity happening through the media in the last couple of days. You know, I understand the big topic at hand is Biden's Red Square address. But before that, I want to talk quickly about Bill Barr's media stunt the other day and the others that are trying to do the same thing. I got an email from a friend shortly after, you know, Bill Barr took to the podcast scene. And my friend was pretty upset about his words about Trump and the Republican Party. He goes, Chad, what is he doing? Doesn't he know he's going to injure our midterm numbers? And how could he be so angry after witnessing what's going on with Biden? As that should be and is the typical response, that's not what's happening here. There are two huge priorities on the left right now. The first is obvious: discredit, slander, and lie about Donald Trump. And the other one is a bit more sinister. Are you noticing how the left, not us, the left, has coined the phrase mainstream Republicans and extreme or ultra MAGA Republicans? See, the Democrats are masters at this because we saw it with Hillary and Bernie. You can't have a strong party divide and win. We have one, but not enough to not vote on the right, unlike that Bernie or bust movement by the progressive left. We can't have that. And I've been saying the rhinos are creating a third party to steal votes away from conservatives. And the left is pushing the gas hard on this. It's their last ditch effort pre-midterms and presidential election. I mean, do you notice people on all sides just melting down, taking huge steps to attempt to discredit and destroy Trump? I'm not talking about the crazy people on the left, the MSNBC, the Amens, and the Mad Cows. No, I'm talking about people on the right. I mean, it's hard to miss, and it's only escalating. You know, I mean, we all went to high school, right? The oldest trick in the book. Someone knows something about you and is getting closer to spilling the beans, so we make up whatever we can to discredit them ahead of time, so whatever comes out about us seems retaliatory and not credible. This is the common theme you're going to see as we get closer to Trump's announcement to run for president. Already a dozen or so Trump-backed politicians around the country have won primaries or elections. In fact, 9 out of 10 Republicans who won were backed by Trump. Whereas in the other areas, Democrats are beating rhinos. The conservative base, the true Republican Party, the people of America, not the DC crooks, we're activating, we're awake, and we're not going anywhere, which is scaring people to death. But sadly, they're not learning. The base of this country is no longer tolerant of being used and trampled on for America last agendas. We are the American grit, and it's going to take a lot more than what they're doing to take our country away. Barr, being the attorney general that quite frankly should have handled things like the Russia hoax and Hillary's emails in the same way that Merrick Garland is handling his fake probe into Trump, has just been sort of a bump on a log. That's who Bill Barr is. But instead, Barr felt it was best to sit back, go against the president that appointed him, and do nothing to hold the frauds within the FBI and special counsel Mueller's team accountable. I mean, his time as AG under Trump was very underwhelming, and you could say the same thing about his time under George H.W. Bush. He could have just rode away into the distance, into peace to retire or whatever he's going to do, play golf or, you know, play pinochle or whatever. But he didn't. And instead of sitting back and keeping his head down, Barr made the most predictable move and took to the drive-by media. His thoughts are quite interesting and the motivation is even more interesting. So he went on this podcast called Honestly with Barry Weiss. She's the ex-New York Times columnist, Barry Weiss. I don't know if you're familiar, but she's a previous New York Times writer and she has a podcast called Honestly. What a joke. The newspaper that's been caught lying and misrepresenting facts more than a Chinese-run media outlet has employees out touting honesty or honestly. I think she should call the show Honestly, I'm Full of Crap. But on the podcast, Barr came out swinging, complaining that Trump called him an effing a-hole. Now, do I believe this? No. Do I support it? No. You just don't call people things like that, especially as their boss. However, on the flip side, I have had major moments in my career where those words would have been warranted. So I can also relate. But I guess the real question here for all of us is, who cares? I mean, everything going on right now, and you're going to get on a podcast and say, he called me names. That right there should have tipped off the motivation for the interview. You know, had he sat down with facts and research to speak about the legalities of what's happening within the FBI or the illegal FISA warrants and, know, I may have been more open to hearing him out, but instead he comes out whining like a 75-year-old baby. I mean, and he went on to say, and granted, I'm paraphrasing here, guys. I don't have the interview right in front of me, but I did watch it. He said he's tired of Trump's pandering to the base with continued hostility and fear. He then gives a commentary about how the FBI deserve faith by the American people and they do everything not to be political. Like, why does everyone think we're stupid? How do people get on TV and look at us and think we're stupid? There's not one person on earth that can say the FBI is not political. It doesn't work that way, especially when your attorney general in the Department of Justice is appointed by a president that has a political agenda. I mean, part of it's just natural. And then the other part of it is human nature and self-preservation. And they want to preserve themselves. They want to stay in power. So they're going to do what they need to do. So everything he does in this interview is awful. I mean, he goes on, he says, you know, all this Trump bashing. And then he goes on to defend the FBI raid of Mar-a-Lago, citing the current FBI leadership as strong and capable. Again, screw you. How does this guy even wake up in the morning? But I know what you're thinking here. And I know what you're thinking because I thought the same thing. Who cares, Chad, about Bill Barr? He's a washed up Bush senior Republican that should have never been tapped for AG. I agree. And I can't even believe that I'm talking about him this much. But I'm attempting to highlight a trend, and I think Barr is really the epitome of it. So why is Bill Barr just now, almost out of office 2 years, going out in the media against Trump? Well, what most of you may not know is that Bill Barr and his daddy have a very interesting past involving the world's most famous pedophile, Jeffrey Epstein. Keep in mind here, most of what I'm going to mention will be found online chalked up as a conspiracy theory, but these aren't conspiracy theories. This is just laid out fact, and I'll let you draw your own conclusions. So Bill Barr's dad, Donald, he's a science fiction author and school headmaster, had a very close relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Very close. In fact, Don Barr hired Jeffrey Epstein as a teacher at the Dalton School, where he was the headmaster. A lot of reports, conspiracy reports, say it's an all-girls school. It was not an all-girls school. Okay, just making that clear. But he hired Jeffrey Epstein as a teacher. But the weird thing is that you may or may not know, Jeffrey Epstein flunked out of high school, had no teaching credentials or degrees. Truly, he had no qualifications to work, even as a landscaper at the school, let alone a teacher. And the question of how that hiring occurred and why is completely unanswered. No one knows. All right, so then we fast forward to Jeffrey Epstein's first run-in with the law around his obsession with young girls. And that was down in Florida, where he was essentially given an Academy Award equivalent of a plea deal. Guess who handled his defense? Bill Barr and his law firm, Kirkland & Ellis. He joined the law firm in 2009. He would also worked there as a partner prior. And Acosta, the U.S. attorney that was working the plea deal, also worked at Kirkland & Ellis. The whole thing is just a big hide the pedophile cover-up. So then Barr ends back up in D.C. under Trump, and that's when Epstein was finally taken down in New York. So we all thought it could not be so easy for Billy Bob Barr. That might not be the easiest case. We just assumed that he would recuse himself. Oh, no. Not only did he not recuse himself, which he should have, he was very personally involved in the so-called suicide press coverage and investigation, and he pushed to make sure that it was ruled and kept a suicide under his Department of Justice. The oddest part of all of this to me is that in Bill's dad's Don, so in Donald Barr's science fiction novel, there's some, I don't even know how to explain it. I would say, insight about his dad within the novel. And I'm just going to read it directly to you. This is the plot. In the future, humans have formed an intergalactic empire ruled by aristocrats. During a time of war with the Plythe, an empire of ant-like alien bug people, Ambassador John Craig, a formerly liberal Earthman in his 30s, is dispatched to strategically important planet Kossar, a human colony that was settled by the Carlisle Society as a place of exile for political extremists, and now is ruled by an oligarchian high council of seven nobles, each of whom is in charge of a different domain with its own traditions. Their boredom and absolute power have driven them to madness, to point that Kossar's entry into the empire had been stymied by the planet's treaty clause against alliances with slave-owning societies due to its practice of kidnapping humans to become illegal playthings of the galaxy's super rich. Craig, who is now campaigning to bring Kossar into the empire, had previously been to the planet when the passenger ship he was traveling on had a stop there. So when en route to Kossar, one of the pirates awakened Craig and the other prisoners to rape a 15-year-old virginal redheaded female captive in front of them. The rapist's fellow pirates later hear of this and dock his pay as punishment for spoiling her market value. Craig then spent 2 years as a slave of the beautiful, sensual, and sadistic Lady Morgan Sidney, the only female member of the oligarchy with whom he became romantically involved. Together, they lived in her castle, ruling over and engaging in sexual relations with those under their dominion, including an enslaved teenager at a clinic used to breed enslaved people. When Craig stumbles on hints of an alien invasion, he realizes he must escape to save humanity. Craig is depicted as disturbed by Lady Morgan's sadism. When he is ordered to sexually assault an enslaved teenager, he enjoys his participation in the act. Hello? I mean, what is going on here? I mean, I guess the genius fact checkers don't... I mean, how is this not so vital to the relationship between Bill, his dad, Don, and Jeff Epstein? Clearly, his dad has some sick, virginal, redheaded thoughts. That doesn't just come out of the blue. Give me a break. But take all the information I've just laid out here and draw your own conclusions. To me, it's just all too convenient that right before Trump announces his run, Barr is on the press circuit with nothing to promote. Doesn't have a book, nothing, a reason for being on the press circuit other than hate speech against the president. I mean, could it be that, I don't know, maybe President Trump has some deeper insight? You know, is Bill Barr out there just ensuring that if anything does come up, it's seen as revenge? I mean, to further his quest to push Republicans into a third party split, handing over the election to the DNC, Barr argues that there's no such thing as a rhino. And Trump has created this idea of moderate Republicans being weak and unloyal to the party. So let me get this straight. According to Bill Barr, rhinos are a figment of our imagination and Trump has the RNC over a barrel. It's strange because the facts tell a different story. First of all, if there are no rhinos, how come these weak right of center Republicans like Liz Cheney are being voted out left and right? Also, why are 98% of all Trump endorsed candidates winning primaries and elections up and down the country? See, Bush Republicans like Barr hate that they've been exposed for what they really are, politicians and not representatives of the American people. For them, it's about money, power, greed, and backdoor deals. That's the Clintons, the Obamas, all the way back, the Bushes. But it's all been exposed, and they're pissed. And they had two choices. They could have just bowed out, quietly knowing that what was coming, or they could create a big conspiracy and peddle some nonsensical story about Trumpers being extreme and wanting a civil war. I mean, a lot of you may think the January 6th committee is about progressing a liberal agenda and an attempt to block Trump from running, which it is. However, there's another part of the January 6th committee that's hard to see on the surface. It's an opportunity for rhinos to cling onto a platform, a distraction, if you will, anything they can go back to their home constituents and say, hey, you don't want to be like these people, these insurrectionists, do you? It's just pure desperation, but it's also very damaging for them. I mean, instead of whining and complaining and aligning yourself with stuff that Americans don't really care about, how about you put your personal feelings and opinions away and represent your constituents as they dictate, not how you feel? See, most of these rhinos have conservative bases, but they've just been able to ride the R wave for years. But they're not actually doing the R while they govern. But now they must prove themselves to their voters who are demanding accountability and change. And when they cannot do that, they get the boot. And why can't they do that? Because it's all these rat's nests of backdoor deals and things. So their voting habits and records are already set in stone by the time they even step foot in their congressional office. That's how they earn money. You know, it's easier to blame Trump, which is, by the way, is not an accepted excuse amongst most Americans now, but it's easier to blame Trump when they get the boot or they're about to get the boot. Barr also, you know, he's so predictable. He also made it very clear he would be supporting anyone but Trump in the upcoming election, which is odd because we have no idea who that would be. And it's essentially a vote for Joe Biden by saying that if Trump, regardless of whether he wins, loses, draw, whatever it is, he has done us an incredible favor. We really owe Trump a lot because for the first time, we have all been exposed to what's really going on in Washington. And I think we're just scratching the surface here. And for the last 50 years, Democrats and Republicans in Jurassic Park were essentially the same. See, when we look at these no Trump Republicans, they're Democrats, 100%. Why? Because just because you don't like a candidate, the overall movement and party should come first. The only other explanations for their blatant anti-conservative attacks are that they're actually Democrats or they have something to hide that could come out. And if it's not Trump with information, damaging information they want hidden, then it's the left using it as ransom against them. I mean, this is par for the course in Washington. Hence why we call the FBI the Federal Blackmail Institute, because that is their only purpose these days, is to work with the left to collect blackmail in order to mold and shift the political climate the way that they want. The problem is people are smarter than they give them credit for. How can someone, some supposed Republican, honestly step up and say, never Trump, during the worst presidency in American history? It's irresponsible and not what people want. And by breaking up the party with people like Bill Barr and the other rhinos, all they're doing is ensuring an extreme Democrat Washington for life. We've only been in one for 2 years and we're miserable. And they want to keep it that way? You know, and my more moderate friends, if you will, the ones that say, I can't stand Trump as a person or he's not presidential enough. Like people who still put merit into things like attitude and overall presence versus accomplishments and progress. You know, they, if you can believe it or not, a lot of these people, they look at me with a straight face and they say, well, if you extreme Republicans or Trump Republicans would just come over to our side a little bit, we wouldn't have to default vote for your people. Often they ask me, Chad, why is it our job to compromise? And I just often I should so stupid, like, because you're the minority in the party. We're a democracy. This is a majority rules system. These, they're like asexual politicians. I call them apolitical. And they're a minority within our party. And their constituents that support them are also the minority in the country. See, Democrats understand this because their entire party is based on the belief that they just need to get in. Get them in, butts in seats, as long as there's Democrats, get in, and then we'll get them onto the agenda. We saw it with Bernie and his voters twice. They don't care about any of the issues. They just want to get someone in. So they lie to voters and make them feel like they're part of a larger group or a larger party. They aren't, but they're made to feel that way. So we assume always on the right that Americans are being told the truth and given all the information. We saw it with this recent Roe ruling, a total drive-by media frenzy to get people mad about the ruling and the right to have an abortion rather than explaining the true meaning of the legislation or the ruling. I mean, it's a very bad conservative habit we have, assuming that we're all informed on the same level. Rush used to talk about it all the time. May he rest in peace. You know, most people sitting at home don't get the concept of a rhino truly and why Bill Barr came out against Trump. On the flip side, Trump rallies are not being covered and the hundreds of pro-Trump politicians are being blocked on TV and social media. I mean, it's so often we see people who once were or seemed to be conservatives like Bill Barr or Mitch McConnell. But like this, They don't care about our movement. They're forever swampers and care about one thing, the money. I mean, McConnell's worth like $20 million and he's been in civil service his whole life. How is that possible? You know, Epstein told several people, it's published, that Barr's position under Trump was an effort to, quote, cash in. And he knew that firsthand. They quoted him saying, I know that very firsthand, Epstein said about Bill Barr. But folks, here we go. Barr is just another screaming example of someone with relatively public information to hide. See, handfuls of these creeps have come out to do the same thing. And we'll see them all come out of the cracks like roaches in a flood the second Trump announces his run for presidency. Now, remember, they're just trying to control the narrative. When you see people on TV like Barr, just remember to ask yourself what the motivation is. There are tons of never Trump conservatives, quote unquote conservatives, out there like Barr that are spewing bullshit all over the country. And it's not working, but it's working within us. I mean, just look at these numbers from the Washington Post. Consider the 10 House Republicans that voted to impeach Trump after the January 6, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. No one ever expected a great survival rate for these folks in 2022 midterms. But most have either jumped off the train, like I said, they could have just gone into the sunset, or they're getting voted out. I mean, 4 chose not to run and 3 lost primary races to Trump-backed candidates. They included Peter Maher and Jamie Butler, who's very, very much a Democrat. Washington Post also says in the 41 states with primary contests this year, more than half of the GOP winners so far have embraced Trump's false claims about his defeat. I love that. False claims. Their presence is even greater in 6 battleground states that decided the 2020 contest. In Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, at least 54 winners out of 87 contests, more than 62% of nominees, have embraced the former president's false claims. By the way, this is not an op-ed or an opinion piece. This is news, but they're using things like false, even though they don't know. Here's another kid. It must be a real genius from Harvard talking about the never Trump in the young demographic. He says, although Harvard public opinion polling data shows that Trump has a majority of support from young conservatives ages 18 to 19. It also shows that a sizable minority within this demographic opposes his presidency, 39%. 26% of that group goes as far as say they will never vote for Trump. Instead of saying loyal to the party, that's the sizable minority, like Amish, has decided to leave politics entirely, becoming less politically engaged and active as a result. Again, Trump's fault that he's leaving politics, right? The exodus of these anti-Trump voters is only making the composition of the Republican Party more pro-Trump. 81% of young pro-Trump conservatives consider themselves Republican, in stark contrast to the mere 18% of young anti-Trump conservatives who are feeling the no man's land of independence. The writer says the Republican Party is now the Trump Party, as support for the president is often the deciding factor in one's choice to affiliate with or distance oneself from the party. Folks, I'm not saying this because it's Trump. I am a Trump supporter. I've been actively involved in his campaigns, and I will be in the next one. However, I don't care if it's Rick Santorum, Romney, Ted Cruz. I mean, you name them, right? Any conservative, any Republican candidate, you don't come out and say never something when you're in the situation you're in now. There's not one person who is non-biased and completely reliant on data that could make the argument that we're better off now than we were. I mean, knowing that, isn't anything better than what we're in now? You'd rather get on public television and discredit Trump because your days are numbered and you think by creating a tiny little de facto party offshoot, you're being an American? No, you're just being selfish and making this about you and not the country. It's completely obtuse. That's not civil service. That's the opposite of civil service. That's civil disservice. Let me leave you with this. One bad apple can, in fact, spoil the bunch. In this case, it's a basket of rotten apples looking to spoil the truckload. In this constant tornado of destruction and distraction and chaos perpetuated by the left-sponsored media, it can be tough to figure out what is what these days. I get it. I get caught up in this stuff sometimes, and this is my job. Remember what I always tell you. Liberals are the crazy ex or crazy current significant other who is nuts. But because they deliver their insanity so confidently and they're so self-assured, sometimes you question whether you're the one that's wrong. And think about it. We all do it. Get home from work. You make yourself a cocktail or a glass of wine or a beer. You turn on the TV. And on channel after channel is nothing but the Bill Barrs of the world. These Republicans of accountability or whatever the F they're called. These no-Trumper Republicans, their new name. They're all old, washed-up, Bush-style Republicans that never worked. And they're all the same. Dozens of the same coming out. Channel after channel after channel. And after a while, you can't help but say, God, maybe he is mean. Maybe he is a joke. Maybe he does call people names. Maybe he really is a horrible person. And that's just what you're being fed in repetition. That's what we're all being fed. Again, motive is everything. You can't solve a murder without motive. When you're putting the future of this country under your personal feelings and opinions, there's a big issue. The hard part is they're so convincing. They've been groomed and trained for this their entire career. It's all part of the agenda of the left. Bring in these rhinos. Bring them in so we can use them. Do you want to know what a real Republican, someone who is actually a Republican? I'm not talking about someone like the worthless sack of shit Liz Cheney or Susan Collins in Senate. They've already basically come out as Democrats. No, I mean, someone like Bill Barr. He's an attorney general for Bush 1 and Trump, comes out tearing down the person who may be the only one who can beat Joe or whatever or whomever the DNC puts in place. A real Republican, someone who cares about their country above all else, someone who understands what true civil service is. Do you know what they say? Hey, Congressman Jeff, who are you going to support? The media will say, not Trump, right? Anyone you like? Here's the true Republican response today. I'm supporting anyone who cares about America and can beat the Democrats. Hate him, love him. That is what a civil servant does. They serve, and that's what they're elected as Republicans to do. Put your panties back on and understand that there are needs and wants of many that should outweigh the few of your buddies that need their back scratched. See, these people used to be able to lurk and play games. But now, thanks to Trump, the spotlight is on and they're collapsing under the pressure. I mean, you listeners, you all have done a great job of keeping up with your political surroundings from a local to state to national elections, making sure your values and American spirits are represented. And we will continue to stay awake. Just make sure when you're around the other Republicans, the ones I call Bush Republicans, who say they don't like Trump's tweets or hair or tie or wife or whatever BS they say because they've been browbeaten into feeling guilty for supporting Trump, make sure you call them on their crap and say, this is what you care about? This is on your mind? Our country is literally on fire and you're worried about how you feel? That is the least American attitude ever. That's a liberal attitude. You know, liberals, all they have to do to feel good is just point out bad things. Oh, the poor blacks. Oh, the poor immigrants. Oh, look at them. They don't actually do anything. They just point it out and blame. That's what these Bill Barr types do. Just look at them. Look at these people when they're talking to you and say, this is no longer about Trump. This is no longer about your feelings. This is about making sure there's baby food available for mothers. This is about making sure that people can afford to take their kids to school in their non-electric car with gas. I mean, it really is. We're on the precipice of something very, very scary. You got to tell them, get your panties out of that twist and look at the overarching picture. Work your schoolyard antics out somewhere else. Right now, let's take our country back, and anyone with that in mind is welcome. However, if you're too focused on other factors, then go away. We don't have time for you. Don't get sucked into presidential conversations from 2024, not because it's not interesting or important, It's premature, and we have so many other things to fight and to accomplish in the meantime. You are too smart. You all are way too patriotic. You're all way too American. You're all way too conservative to let the Bill Barrs of the world impact your thinking. And you're too fearless to not speak up in your circles about it. This is Chad Law reminding you of what Reagan once said. If you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. That's exactly what we need to do now. God bless you, President Reagan, and may God save America.
You just listened to the Last Gay Conservative podcast, hosted by Chad Law. Please visit us at lastgayconservative.com for this episode and others. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and wherever you listen. If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and share. Find us on social at Last Gay Conservative. We proudly support the following causes: the Convention of States Action, the National Rifle Association, the Heritage Foundation, and Big Brothers Big Sisters of America. Disclaimer: the views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent. The Last Gay Conservative is a production of Bend Right Media. All rights reserved, 2022.